Oh, we're so blessed. Pastor Ben, Milton, Jimmy, and me went to Easy View Extender the other day. And blessings for Open Door, sound, new soundboard. I'm the first one to use today. Blessings. Expensive one, but that's designed for us to be used and someday moving to another, probably ground floor church that we've been praying for so long. So that all the people that we can invite in come in without any, you know, fear of coming up. How many stairs we have here? Oh my goodness, that's a lot. So anyways, blessings. Aloha. The third or fourth day of the first month of the year. It's a good day, time to start, you know, reading the word. We can finish it by the whole year. Amen. So if you want this one, I'm actually following. If you want, I have extra here for the month of January. I'm just following the New Hope. I know a lot of us here are doing it. So this is free. You can go start. I already did my fourth day today. So this is, you can have this later on. Okay? Anyways, you guys got your New Year's resolutions in place? You sure? Good. Amen. Hope you have to set your goals. That you want to do something good and different this year? Bless people more this year? Is that an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you going to love someone more? Your wife? My wife? I'm going to work hard and do more loving this year. This is New Year, that's why. She's here, my beautiful wife, for 33 years now. Amen. Or are you going to love your... No, not girlfriend, boyfriend. I don't encourage yet for young Sergio. Wait till you're 21, maybe. Anyways, but the most important thing is put God first in your life. That should be your first newest resolution. Dig deeper, like the Berean Christians, dig deeper in the Word. Because daily devotion is really necessary for us, every one of us here, in order to grow and know who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Okay. Each year, approximately 20 or 25,000 die on highways of America. You know why? Because of alcohol. And because of personal loss of loved ones, Mothers Against Drunk Driving was established to enlighten the American people to the dangers of drinking and driving. With the alcohol, of course, you're drunk, something happens, you're not yourself, right? Certainly, alcohol is a scourge. A scourge is like a life-threatening thing when you use alcohol. Alcohol is a scourge, actually, will threaten the lives of other people out in the streets, yeah? And the American people are really very, sad about those lost loved ones in the streets. And I really applaud that. Expose this. The mothers get together and do all this, drive to encourage people not to drive during, you know, especially on occasions like Christmas. Christmas Eve, actually, my wife and me were driving in Honolulu, downtown, and she told me, honey, this is the first time I've ever encountered the police where there was a blockage, and there were mothers. It was all about men. First time she experienced that. Police checked us up, you know, with the people you're driving or not. When they saw us, husband and wife, the police just did like that. But amazing, yeah? The mothers were all there. Tina was talking to the mothers out there doing mad, you know. That's amazing stuff. Anyways, however, this is another scourge in America. Life-threatening. Only this taking hundreds of thousands, even millions of lives all around America. And all half of these are, you know what, Christians. Yet there seems to be no voice or organized, effort crying out this unnecessary loss of millions of lives who are dying in the prime of life. Yeah? And each, over 1 million die from heart disease. 500,000 probably, or thousands die on cancer. You know that. It's been happening throughout the world, you know. Most of these deaths are actually absolutely unnecessary, you know. Why are there still no voices, you know, against this waste of lives? So the obvious answer to this is most people do not realize that sickness and disease are not necessary. I'll show you later on this. You don't have to be sick. This is Dr. George Malmos. Yeah? And then, you know, it can be avoided. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, and a lot of stuff. You know, when cancer is not metastasized, it's still an onset or in early stages, you can actually reverse the, you know, I believe that. As a healthcare practitioner, I believe, and my wife and me read a lot of stuff like that. But if you're already metastasized and something, they cut you already, that's an area where only God can do miracles in that. But again, it can be eliminated. You know, if Christians will return to the Bible and observe the natural laws God gave us thousands of years ago. I hope I'll explain more further now. So as mothers against drunk driving united to expose the unnecessary loss of this life from alcohol, so as Christians, we must arise and unite to expose this unnecessary loss of millions of lives to heart disease, whatever it is, you know. We should raise up multitudes of Christian warriors to expose this curse. Amen? Anyway, let's pray before we move on. Let's bow our heads. Father God, may you give us, Lord, really Christian warriors, Lord, to expose this curse. And I pray that you give us the wisdom to understand, Lord, the problem as well as the solution, Lord. Open our eyes, illuminate our minds, Father God. And give us the knowledge, again, the wisdom, the love, your mighty power, Father God, to go forward, to unite, and help others understand why Christians and non-Christians get sick. And show them, Lord, that it can be avoided if it's in oil states, and that diseases will be slowly taken away, and then experience just superior help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my voice changed. You turn it up. It was off. Anyways, let's move ahead. Okay. Now, let's read on the, see this. My message is why Christians and non-Christians get sick, right? And let's read the first verse I put in here. I just sang the song. Ready? Go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. There you go. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Take a look at the second verse there, Psalm 67:2. That thy way is God's way. God's way to ultimate health, yeah? That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. The next one, Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So a lot of us, the next verse is, this is what hit us most of us. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. That's sad, yeah? When you reject knowledge and it's not you're not aligned with what you're doing in life. And I'll again explain it more later on. The three bullets that the Bible gives us, three reasons why we get sick and we get physical problems. Let's move ahead. So George Malthus, 9 years ago, I found him. It's 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with atrial fib and regular heartbeat. So 9 years ago, actually 10, August 2005. So he revealed, this book was revealed to me, and I changed my diet. I gave up pork, beef, and chicken, as Filipino as I am. I'm a pork eater all my life for 54 years. Then I gave it up. But let's continue. And okay, Dr. Malmos has four friends he could relate. I'm just going to read it to you. The first one is, Joe was his friend, a big powerful man who has been an All-American football tackler. He was a very successful evangelist. He was being mightily used by the Lord. See this. He had several revivals. They were together. But a very spiritual man. No question about it. One of his messages is like this. He said, I believe that over 90% of all sickness among Christians is because of sin. And Mark Moss also, as a young pastor, now remember, Mark Moss is a pastor for 20 and 36 years until he formed this Hallelujah Diet. That's the one he's right now. It's really known. You can go hakers.com and that's him. So he believed too that 90% of all sickness among Christians are because of sin. That's really very compelling, yeah? So one day, Joe called Mark Moss Joe. He was requesting for prayer. You know what happened? What's his need? He suffered a heart attack and was lying in bed, unable to preach scheduled revivals. He was very popular, fully booked in advance. So George was saying, could this heart attack be because of sin? Has Joe fallen out of favor from God? That's a good question, right? Why? He served God mightily, you know, revivals left and right, saved a lot of people, and he had a heart attack. What's happening? So another Christian leader, a friend of him, it happened to many, an evangelist founder of a large Christian youth camp. Christians all over the world was asked to pray, but his ministry currently was down because he was, you know, he had several stroke in his life. So heart attack and stroke is different. Stroke is on the head, and the heart attack is on the here, on the heart. Yeah. So he this Christian leader be again the result of sin that he did. He's an evangelist. Can you imagine? Prime time of his life, preaching and died, stroke. Was his death the will of God? Will we question that? It seems the stuck answer among Christians when something like this happens is, yeah, it must have been God's will. No, we cannot do that, you know. God doesn't make sense. I have a book by James Dobson explaining when something happens unnaturally, you know, untimely, and we question God. We never have to question God. Amen? God has always has a purpose for whatever is happening. The last one I want to include, another friend by George Mark Moss. He went to a preacher's conference. There were 1,200 preachers there present, okay? And they were praying specifically for one evangelist from the Philippines. He had 15,000 members from the Philippines. They were praying because at the age of 45, this evangelist had a cancer, age 45. And after the conference, when they left, they had a special prayer for him. Of course, so many people he reached out in the Philippines. So they requested that, please bring your prayer request back to your respective churches when you go back home. And can you imagine how many people praying? Potential of probably 50 to 100,000 Christians praying. And you know what happened? Not long after, he passed away. We have one member of the church here, you know, 2 years ago, your mom. We have been praying so hard for her. And, well, I know she's in heaven. A cancer patient, you know. And we really prayed hard on that. No matter, our church is, we're a prayer warrior church, but I know she's in heaven. Praise God. Man. Anyways, it's so sad, yeah? Why? Why all this? Can it be, again, the result of sin? Man, a question. If his death was not because of sin, then why didn't the Lord answer the prayers of this multitude of Christians who were praying for his healing? Was his death the will of God? I don't think so. Let's move on. Now, it was time for Malkmus. At the age of 42, he had colon cancer. Preaching left and right. He had a station, he has a school. He had about 3,000 members until it hit on him. Colon cancer. What is this going on? All my pastor friends are dying on this and that, left and right. And on top of that, on that day that he had colon cancer, her mom had a cancer herself. And she was taking care of her for so many years. And seeing her death is a turmoil, you know, it's really bad because she was doing chemotherapy. And the question got in his mind, what should I do, Lord? You know what he did? He has to research because he doesn't want to do the conventional way that her mother died, you know, with all the pain she was taking for chemotherapy. She researched, and you know what happened? This is what happened. He searched and found an alternative, nutrition and changed lifestyle. So he went to, he left ministry, he went to Florida and enrolled in a nutritional institute with the rest of the people around the world seeking for answers to sicknesses, you know, heart disease, whatever it is. So that's where he was healed, he was redeemed, no more colon cancer. Then he opened Hallelujah Diet. Until now, oh, so many health ministers throughout the world. I want to be one. I told Pastor Ben a long time ago, my wife, that I want to be a health minister with them. But hey, this is Hallelujah Diet, purely vegetarian. And I am not. I am a pescetarian right now. For 9 years, although I don't eat pork, beef, and chicken, I eat fish. I like the seafood, you know, mentality of the people. I eat all I can, seafood. Seafood diet. So that's me now, vegetarian. But sometimes I adopt the Hallelujah. It's really amazing. Okay, let's move on now. On your notes, the next one is, I will praise you for I am, this is Psalm 139:14, yeah? I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Amen? We all believe that's Christian, that God created us, right? We are wonderfully and fearfully made, right? Yeah. I believe that God created man. I do not believe that man's existence is the result of just some evolutionary process. No. For just like my watch right now. Look, my watch. Who made this? A watchmaker, right? And who made man? Man is created from dust. I'll explain in detail how we were made. And who is the potter? We're the clay, right? So we are fearfully and really wonderfully made. And the next verse there. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. See, I also believe that Bible is the very word of God. That not, God not only created man, but he also made a book of instruction for us, the Bible. That's why all scriptures is God-breathed, right? Amen? The Bible contains all that God, the Creator, wanted man, his creation, to know. Yes, all that men need to know in order to live a happy, healthy, successful, spiritual life is found in the pages of the Bible. Amen? Amen to that. Let's move on. Okay. The Bible answers three basic questions of man. Where did man come from? Let's dig the Bible now. This is the first week of the year, the month. And if you, again, you read the Bible starting Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says here, day 1, God created light. Day 2, God created vapor above and water below. Day 3, God created land, sea, and plant life. Day 4, God created sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, God created animal life. And there we are. Day 6, God created cattle and humans. That's us now. Amen? And in here, let's see what the Bible says. And then the Lord God formed man of the dust, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. That's why it says here, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Truer words never spoken. Our body, here, let's do physics now. And what we call is human anatomy. Our body is literally chemically composed of every element in the mineral kingdom. Listing the major elements, look at this. Man is composed of oxygen, 65%. Carbon, 15%. Hydrogen, 10%. Nitrogen 3, calcium 2, phosphorus 1, along with traces amount of sulfur, whatever it is, chlorine, fluorine, potassium, magnesium, iron, silicon, iodine, copper, lead, aluminum, everything that is our body, anatomically made and fearfully made by God. So from the above things I said, we are airborne elements. Breath of life is a breath of life from God. While the remaining elements come from the earth, dust of the ground. Amen? Amen. So trillions of cells. There are about 100 trillions of cells in our body. Constant nourishment for rebuilding. If you don't take care of the cells, it's going to die in you. You're going to be mucky in a short period of time. I just want to skip the one trail. The blood, okay? The blood, human body, depending on sizes, approximately 5 quarts of blood, which are constantly traveling through the entire body, making 3,000 to 5,000 round trips a day. The heart pumps 20 billion blood cells throughout the blood. The blood cells carry nourishment to our body cells while collecting waste to be removed from the body. This is more like physics, right? That's why the heart muscle must be kept in order to keep it, the blood continue flowing with good strength as it feeds and cleanses the body cells. Many people fail to realize the absolute necessity of aerobic exercise for maintaining strong hearts. That's why I diet and exercise. My exercise is more of the basketball. You can walk, you can play ping pong, you can play volleyball, whatever. We have an ocean, wide ocean, and the people swimming, laughing. Oh, the two kids here are champion swimmers. That's the best exercise aside from walking and brisk walking like this, yeah? We gotta move our heart, pump our heart, you know? What you don't use, you lose. Amen? Okay, the lungs. Oh, I'm a respiratory therapist and my wife. This is our cup of tea. It's very important. The respiratory system, lungs, works together with the circular system, like the heart, arteries, veins, and blood, and the life support of the body. The body can go 40 plus days without food, possibly 4 days without water. But how about oxygen? 4 minutes, you're mocking. No oxygen, 4 minutes, you die. That's very important. So the lungs should be exercised too, yeah? Keep the breathing out. When we're in the fold, that we always teach the patients or our deep. Okay, let's pass that. The liver, I don't want to talk. That's enough for the hour. I think that's more than enough. Our lifestyle and diet determines the condition of our lungs, arteries, and veins, and the availability of the cells. Let's move on. Biblical reasons now. Next verse is 1 Corinthians 11. 30. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is mocking. Right? That's why many of us, some of us, but I just pray that the people who's mocking are all up in heaven. That's my prayer, because you are here, but it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about, yeah, food. Okay, let's move on. What is one thing? I love food, but again, I'm a seafood diet. Yeah, I eat everything. No, I'm joking to you guys. Have you ever wondered, why are Christians just as sick as non-Christians? And why are spiritual Christians just as sick as Christians who are not spiritual? Amazing. That's why I titled this, Why Christians Get Sick and Non-Christians Get Sick. No, there's no favoritism here. We both are all going to be sick if you don't take... Okay, I'm going there now. The temple of the body of Christ. Amazing, yeah. So many leaders, evangelists, so sad, missionaries, pastors get sick and even die. Some in the prime life, oh, they could have very really reached out. That's why I want to get healthy, Pastor Ben, so we can reach more people. If we market tomorrow, I'm good. I'm up in heaven. I'm pretty sure I'm up in heaven. But I want to be with my wife. I will have not just me, all of us. You know, we will be raptured. That's the word there. Okay, let's try check some religious other denominations and other proponents that have very interesting teachings about practices concerning their sicknesses. I'm not going to talk to them about their doctrines, what their beliefs are, because every denomination and churches have all their own beliefs. First, Christian Science, founded by Mary Baker, Global Patterson Eddy, teaches that sickness and death are not real. I think that's the church down in Puno, Christian Science. They said, teaches that sickness and death are not real, only mental error. Woo. Yet the founder of this religion, as well as multitudes of followers, got sick and died. Amen. That's not an amen. That's sad. Okay, Seventh-day Adventist, founded by Ellen G. White, have included in the teachings of the religion some very strict, you know, strict teachings on diet and care of the body. When I was young in the Philippines, I was amazed and appalled that I'm a Protestant all my life, UCSPN. When they talk about Seventh Day going to church on Saturday, what kind of church is that going Saturday? And they don't eat pork, something like that, and they're vegetarian. But now as an adult, as a mature person, I realize they're doing it right in a way. You know, he said here, for instance, they teach against the use of coffee, tea, tobacco, and alcohol beverages. One of the most interesting teachings that they are to eat no porke. No pork. And that is the best to eat, no meat at all for them. No meat. That's why I'm amazed myself that for going 10 years now, I haven't eaten pork. I think I cheated though last Christmas. You know? Christmas Eve. You know, because we ordered a roast pork on Christmas Eve, yeah? Lechon. Oh, I did like this. Only that skin. Pok! Whoa, Lord God, thank you. It doesn't hurt me. Because life is on moderation,
it's
right?
No,
but
no,
me,
no,
I
no.
My wife knows that. My will is really... Even when I go to the Philippines in 2007, I ordered pork for them, but I told them that's not good. But I still ordered for them, but I never touched, you know. I tried to prove to them. Some of my sisters and brothers, two of my sisters followed the way I do it. Too. Fish, maybe vegetarian vegetable. Because in the Philippines, there's a lot of old people still living. Because they eat vegetables and free-range chicken. We're talking about chickens raised not in this commercial thing that's with store and stuff. You know, free range meat still okay. Even the Jews are eating good right now. Kosher, yeah? Kosher, whatever it is. No blood, nothing. It's not really bad, but let's move on. Mormons, same thing. Founded by Joseph Smith. Includes dietary restrictions in their teachings. They don't use alcohol, tobacco, coffee, tea, cola, and all that drug. They encourage, though, storage of emergency food for the future, yeah. If you are a prepper, you prep up for the future. So the Mormons are known on that, especially grains and pure drinking water. They save for the future. Anything happens in this world, fallen world, you know, we don't know really what's going on. Pentecostals, let's check, generally teach that healing of the body was included in the atonement. We're part, our church is more or less doctrinated through Pentecostal, right, brother? Because we were New Hope and all other stuff, Ralph Moore, whatever. So we're Pentecostal in a way. We often have healing services, and I've seen a lot of times Pastor Ben, John Lee, her brother, we go healing, praying to people in the hospital, and we believe that in the name of Jesus, we believe because faith is the most important thing in us here as a Christian. We believe that still God does miracle yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We believe that, right? So we do our oil anointing with prayers for healing. We do that. And then that's a part of the Pentecostal way of doing things. So Baptist, Mark Moss was a Baptist. He said here, I was a Baptist for 23 years. Are oftenly extremely fatalistic when it comes to sickness. They pray, the Baptists, very sincerely, and they accept treatment with drugs, radiation, surgery from the medical profession as means that God uses to heal Christians who are sick. If prayers and the efforts of medical profession don't bring healing, then that sickness for them is accepted as the will of God. That's their belief. I don't know. But he said, over 30 years of associations with Baptists, he said, I have not seen as a group to have men any better health than non-Baptists. They still die from sicknesses. So anyways, who's to blame? Is God to blame? I don't think so. It seems that we tend to blame things when we do not understand on the Lord. Like a tornado in a town in Oklahoma, hurricane rips the Louisiana, all these calamities all over there. We blame God. It was an act of God. No, we cannot do that. Amen? You cannot. God is not to be blamed for anything. Let's stop blaming God for things we don't understand. And let's turn to the Bible. Yeah? And see what the Lord has to tell us about the subject of sickness among Christians. Just why do Christians and non-Christians get sick? So there it is. The Bible only gives three reasons for sickness or physical problems among Christians. Are you ready? You have open? The first bullet here is for the glory of God. You can write it down there. For the glory of God. So in the Gospel of John, we read this. As he went along, John 9:1-3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind." "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said. "But this happened so that the words of God might be displayed in him." Do you guys understand that? It's his deity, yeah, that he can primarily use in the biblical days to demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ's power and deity. That's him. How about Paul? Paul had an infirmity. Do you know that? He was asking Lord 3 times, "Lord, please take away my whatever I have iniquity in my life." But you know what Paul said? Jesus said to him, look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Do you know that I have a blind left eye? Yeah, now you know. The Lord has used me. If I'm not blind, I would have not known my wife, my left eye. But when she saw me 33 years ago, he never noticed my left eye. I was crooked like this, you know. I had 2 surgeries for the past 2 years. 1986, intraocular lens, and then 1996, strabismus, straightened the eye. I was like this when I looked at that. Look at that. See, I don't know why she loved me, but, you know, because I prayed for her. In 1979, it was God-given, you know, prayer for me. That's my wife. And through thick and thin, for better or worse, we're still here together. She had, you know, the story that she had, something happened to her last year, but yeah, God is so good. All the time. And she's going to live more than 30, 40 more years. I know that. I believe that. Whew! Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Amen? Amen. My grace is sufficient. The second bullet. Allah. Second bullet. This is it. Because of unconfessed sin. You might be sick. Oh, this is very, very, really important. The first two might be not the reason for the sicknesses. The third one is the most important thing. Let's go for the second first, because of unconfessed sin. Okay, it says here, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" Oh, did I do it right? No. 1 John 1:9. I skip it. Okay, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There you go. If you have unconfessed sins, if you're willing to repent, oh, that's the most important thing in life. Repent. And your sins will be blotted away in times of repressing comes from the Lord. That's Acts 3:19. We need to reach out. A lot of people out there repent and just repent for their, you know, sins in their lives. And we all sin. Nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. For this cause, here, I want to read Corinthians 11:28-32. "For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the Lord. Sickness because of sin is a judgment by the Lord, but it can be removed again if we make things right with the Lord. Amen? It will be removed. Read clearly this verse, you know, because but praying in the all the praying in the world will not heal the affliction caused by sin, you know, unless it is the prayer of repentance. It is the prayer by the believer himself who has sinned. He gotta really give it up. Let go. Lord, I sinned. And I wanna clear my conscience, my mind, my heart. Clear me, Lord. Like David when he made mistake with Bathsheba. He really, that's another area of repentance, really. And it was given back to him all what he has lost. So, I have no doubt that some of the physical suffering among Christians of our days is because of unconfessed sin. That's number two, yeah? Then the third one, this is the last one here. It's right on your note, the violation of God's natural laws. It's where we eat what we eat, when it feels like we, oh, it's good, boom, 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 boom. For 54 years, I ate so much pork, double cheeseburger. I ate Tony Roma's baby back ribs and bountiful beans. Oh, so good. Oh, no. It's still good. You guys can eat. I'm not telling you to stop what you're doing, but it's your choice. At the end, it's your choice, not mine. I had my choice. So I'm not going to give this away. I've teach my tongue that, hey, no more pork, Omar. No more beef, no more chicken. Yeah. That's amazing, yeah? But it's for real, brother. It's really real. And I've been praying hard that I want to give up fish someday. That's my downfall right now. And the sweet tooth. Every one of us, we're not perfect. We're just trying to make the best out of life, right? We want to get ourselves corrected, right? We're not perfect. We always make mistakes here. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, we'll read. Okay? This is, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Powerful, yeah? That's why when I go to YMCA in the morning, I just talk to God all the time. Lord, it's just another day to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a blessing that I'm able to go here while my wife's still sleeping soundly with the two dogs now. So I'm not scared because there's two dogs there guiding her now. So before when I go out, I stop for so many months because Pastor Ben's telling me, hey, take care of your wife first. But I'm good now. When I walk up early, I know she's snoring so quietly, and I tell my hallelujah, that hallelujah and harmony to take care of your mama, huh? Oh, did I say snoring? No more. We have CPAP, you know, two of us have CPAP. Eh? Oh, this is private, but you gotta know, because as a healthcare practitioner, you gotta suck it up. If you need to use a CPAP, if you're snoring and you have to sleep now, you gotta use it. It's really a help. You know, it's a healthy. CPAP is not a joke. I know a lot of us here, I think. No, private, I don't want to mention name now. But I hesitated before to use that. But when I use it now, no more snoring, no more sleep apnea for me. And I know the Lord God has healed me from my irregular heartbeat. Can you? I don't believe in drugs anymore. No pills, no nothing. Even my doctor prescribed me when I had my stress test. He prescribed me Atenolol because he said my heart beat so fast. I was thinking, dang, yeah, of course my heart's gonna beat fast when you stress test. Of course. Then, you know, you gotta. My wife is so good at us hearing her body, you know. She knows that there's something wrong with me. I just don't feel I'm sickly. God is so good to me. But my wife, a little bit of heartbeat, she knows. A little bit of hypochromia, she knows. That's just a gift that she has. But you guys, you know your body well, right? When you understand that it's about time. Like, if I drive my car, if one click, it doesn't start, but that's it. I'm going to bring this to the mechanic. I don't want to drive like, and then second, oh, no way. It's either the battery or the alternator or what? a little bump in the back, I don't wait for, you know. Because if you wait, you get sickly, or even you have some inclination of, oh, I don't feel good. My ear is tingling, my head is spinning, I am short of breath. As a medical field, Master Ben here is also medical. So you gotta learn, listen to your body, and forget the pork, the beef, and the chicken. Nah. That's your choice at the end, I won't explain. If Christian fails to care properly for his body, God will destroy that body. Oh, that's so. 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile, make unclean with something unpleasant or contaminating, that's words there, the temple of God, him shall God destroy. We don't want to do that. Our lack of knowledge is, most people never give a second thought as to what they put into their mouth. Oh, if it tastes good, they eat it. They seem to associate their physical condition with what they eat or drink. The average person uses more care in selecting the grade of the gasoline. Oh, high-tech gasoline, 92. I only put 87, the small one. To put in the automobiles, then they put the food in the mouth. Good, better, best. I learned from Kevin Trudeau. I go out to a restaurant. What's a good, better, or best food to eat? Where is the good, better, best place to eat? You go inside a restaurant, Vietnamese or Thai. Oh, Ong Choy, garlic. That's my favorite. Garlic Ong Choy, Chinese restaurant. No MSG added. See? And my wife cooks good. You can check her at Cooking with Tina Diaz. All vegetables. When we did that, but I think she did something pork for the patient. We have to give them their joy. They like it. They like to eat good food, so we have to cater to what they need. But for me, I just have to stop and up. This is it. We're finishing. We're done. Destroyed lack of knowledge. Oh man, Christians are just as sick as non-Christians. Spiritual Christians are just as sick as Christians who are not spiritual. Why? Yeah? Really, let's wrap it up. For the glory of God, again, I told you, primarily used in the biblical days to demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ's power and deity. This thing, if you check the Bible, we read there's 10 actually people raised from the dead. 3 in the Old Testament and 7 in the New Testament. That's including Jesus. That's the glory of God for all these people who was raised from the dead. And the second one, I wrap it up, because of seen by the Christians, some of the sickness among Christians that they can no doubt be attributed to this cause. Repentant prayer. Remember this. Repentant prayer will bring healing in this instance. And then the violation of the natural laws, we'll close with that. It is in this category that the author believes, or Malmos of me, I believe it. I believe it for a fact that this is the 90% cause of sickness and physical suffering being experienced today by a lot of people all around the world. No exception. Christians, non-Christians. If you violate the natural laws of God, if we go back to the time of Adam and Eve, what did they eat? Adam and Eve, garden. Yeah, after the fall, that's when it was introduced that we're killing already, you know, meat, something. But during the day, what are their meat? No asteroids. Oh, they're all free range. They also eat all vegetables and fruits, the animals before. So we cannot compare that today, because today is just human, fallen world. If you watch the Food Incorporated, all these pork and knives, tells you how they raise the chickens, the fish. Oh, I'm guilty. In the ocean or on the, what do you call it, cultivated, what, in the farm. It's really very scary. Okay, our poor eating habits, lifestyle, and lack of exercise, again, cause most of our physical problems. We do have a choice. Okay, this is my last question. Will it be helped? And happiness, or sickness, suffering, and then untimely death. Which will you choose, you guys? This is why Christians and non-Christians get sick. Amen? Praise God. Got it. Over the top. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for that message. And I got to tell you, you know, remember I told you about that time we went to the party, ate all that food, and I suffered for it. I had to repent, you know, and realize the Bible talks about this too, right? Gluttony is one of the deadly sins. And we realize when we lack self-control, that's the major problem, you know, when we can't control ourselves, even though we know we shouldn't be doing it, yet we do it, then it can become a sin. You know, and we realize that, like our brother said, when it concerns unconfessed sin, you know you're doing something wrong, but you say, not that bad. I think I still can do it. And you realize, if it's a sin, it's a sin. And the thing is, you know, when we stand before the Lord, we stand bare before Him. You can't hide anything from God. Even in the book of Isaiah, God says, I will expose you in your nakedness. And we stand before the Lord. Bear. We can't hide anything from God. That is why we got to make sure our lives are right with God. And you know, I was just reading this article, and it talked about, you know, in Oklahoma, you know what they're thinking of doing? I think it's going to pass. They said that if they find anyone in the streets wearing a hooded sweatshirt with the hood over their head, you're going to be fined $500. You better tell your sister about this, because they just moved to Oklahoma. And you know, the reason why is because, you know, several years back, right? You know what happened, right? A young African-American boy was wearing that hooded sweatshirt, and you know, they looked upon him as being very suspicious, like he's hiding something. And so, you know, he got into a confrontation with an older man, and he was shot to death. And so now they're making this law. It says, because we know that a lot of times people, they wear this hooded sweatshirt because they're trying to hide their identity. And they're trying to hide something, you know? And so now they're making it a law. So if you go to Oklahoma, make sure, don't put your hood over your head. You'll be fined $500. I think they're going to pass that law. So it's something to think about. You realize, you know, we stand before the Lord. We can't hide from Him. If there is sin in your life, you got to make it right with Him. Because you may think, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, I won't get found out. Well, God knows about it. Whatever it is, it's in your life. You got to make it right with Him. Yes, brother.
That's what I heard. Pastor said the other day that a lot of people don't know this. When Joseph was sold to Potiphar, he was sold completely naked. Mm. The reason why he was completely naked, because they wanted to see if he had anything like leprosy or stuff, because they would not take a body that into slavery that was not perfect.
Yes.
So he was on the slave market completely naked.
Yes. And we realize, you know, we're always going to come before the Lord with nothing to hide. Can we make it our New Year's resolution, you know? And make it not just your New Year's resolution, make it your life resolution. That, you know what, I'm always going to stand before the Lord bare. Naked. I'm not going to think in my mind I can hide anything from God. And if you live a life like that, you say, Lord, I want to be exposed. Lord, I want to hide anything from You. And if you can make a decision to do that, you're going to have a most blessed life. Amen? Because you're not going to go through life thinking, oh, should I do that? Should I do this? Or whatever. You're going to say, Lord, I'm always going to live a life that is right with You. Knowing that we're not perfect, but remember, like our brother said, we got to confess our sins. We got to repent. And as we make things right with God, know that you're going to have a blessed life regarding your physical health, your spiritual life. Every area of your life will be blessed by God if you choose to do it His way. Amen? Let's make it a point. Amen? Brothers and sisters, we're going to come to God and say, Lord, I'm bare. I'm bare before You always. So Lord, have my heart. Why don't we go ahead and bow our heads, bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken from our brother Omar. And I just pray, Lord, that Your words will get so deep within our souls, deep within our hearts, as we let Your words sink even deeper. We're going to live Your words, and we're going to know, Father, You're going to bless us because it's Your word that gives us life. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, as we choose to make our lives right with you. If we can say we didn't have such a great year, maybe we've been holding on to things that we're not supposed to hold on to, maybe we haven't been fully surrendering our lives to you, I pray from this point on, this day on, we're going to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. Whatever I know that is causing me to draw away from you, to draw away from my loved ones, Father, I'm going to make it certain that I will make things right so that I can truly have a most blessed life. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, no, this is a moment. This is a time. It's a sacred time right now. It's between you and God. You're saying, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done in this past year, but I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to let the devil influence me in any way. I'm not going to let the world influence me. I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to do as your word tells me so that I can truly have that abundant life you promised. With all our heads bowed and eyes closed, you're saying, that's me, Pastor Ben. I'm going to choose to live for God. I'm going to live for him with my whole life. Can you raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Anyone else? Lift your hand up. Say, that's me, Lord. That's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You can put your hands down. Praise God. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us life. And I pray, Father, as we make a decision now to live a life that is true to you, that we're going to reject the things of the devil, reject the things of the world. We're going to accept the fullness, the blessings of your word that will bring forth greater and greater miracles, greater and greater, the abundance of life will come forth in our very own lives as we trust it upon you. Father, have your way, because Lord, we know you only want to bring your very best. And I pray, Father, for all of those that have raised your hands, Father, will you just let your Holy Spirit's presence just touch their hearts, touch their minds right now, Father. Let them know that you will never leave them. You will never forsake them, because Father, we are property of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We give it all to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must be expressed from deep within your heart. You're crying out to God. You're saying, Lord, not my way anymore. I want to live according to your ways, according to your word. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, you know He's pulling at your heart because He wants you to come to know our Lord Jesus. Don't fight it. Know that you will only experience the best that God has to offer when you say, Lord, I surrender me unto you. And if you're making this decision, well, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a minute or so here. And as you know, the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Make this decision for Him. Say yes to Jesus. And if you are wanting this right now, just receiving this gift from our Father God, the gift of eternal life, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to Him with my whole life. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Put your hands down. When we pray this prayer out loud, let's pray together as a family. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. I live for Him only. I am property of Jesus Christ. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen. Amen.